If you're purchasing a new home or refinancing your existing home, then you need to call Team Hochberg, your trusted local lender, 855-563-2843, or visit 56david.com. Atlantic Coast Mortgage, Equal Housing Lender, NMLS 643-114.
Listening to Sound Sessions.
We're listening to the sweet sounds of Sound Sessions. Thank you.
Welcome to another episode of Sound Sessions live here on WGN Radio. Can you believe it, Kev? Our amazing bosses at WGN have allowed us another night.
We tricked them. We're back.
We are back. And, you know, you can make sure that you find us on WGNplus.com. We're at Sound Sessions. We're on SoundCloud, Stitcher, TuneIn. But right now, we're live on air on 720.
Live on WGN Radio, yeah, which is totally a treat. I can't believe we're here. It's awesome. We're having so much fun already. And kind of a blast from the past, we have my first show that I ever produced.
And my first show that
Sitting in the studio with us, usually not here until Saturday night, overnight, Dave Plyer.
I showed
up
on the wrong day.
Yeah.
Again.
Got confused.
Damn it.
So what are you doing here,
Dave? I can't believe that
happened.
Well, you know, I've got some family in from out of town, from Champaign, and Terry and Sam and Jess are in from out of town, so we had a nice little dinner, had some drinks at Michael Jordan. Sam's going to be like 21 in like a couple weeks, so we let
That's
her sample.
Exciting.
We let her sample
All right.
a little bit.
It's good to test it
we
out.
We won't tell anyone.
And my son Josh hanging out here, so we were just drinking down the street, and we decided to wish you luck and hang out for a little bit, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
So let's talk about our first shifts together. So my first shift ever was with Dave, and I think it may have been your first at the time, too.
It was.
How did that
go?
Was
it New Year's Eve or was it Christmas Eve? What was
it? That's a good. I want to say it was Christmas Day into the day after, like the 26th after that.
You like this, Roger. I think we transferred the studio someplace else for about 8 or 10 minutes in the dead air.
Yeah, right.
That was the no seriously.
That's not a joke.
I remember that it's like which button, which button,
yeah,
which button, which button, which button.
Yeah, I think I only trained with Bill Leff a couple of times on the boards.
Yeah,
and you were doing a whole different career at that time, and you were an intern here at some point,
so
and
I
then came back.
Yeah, I interned in 2010, and then I was doing production work and yada yada and. Decided I want to get into producing. And producing's a thing, too, where it's like you can only sit and watch someone do it so much. You really have to get on and get hands. Just like I'm sure.
Absolutely.
So, you know, my first shift was a disaster. Like you said, there was dead air.
Trial by fire.
Yeah, you know. But,
and at that time with old management, there was no engineer on duty.
Right.
So you were by yourself.
Right.
It was just us making phone calls, wondering how to operate a 50,000-watt radio station. When you think about that.
And so, Michael, you had
and then
the,
Michael, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Dave already knew what he was doing by that
I was broken
point, I'm
in
sure,
by
yeah.
the time Michael came around.
He was
yeah,
a seasoned pro.
I was a seasoned
by
pro.
By that time, and little did I know that I was walking into, you know, probably one of my favorite shows here on WGN when I was starting out, and trust me, there were a few...
Besides Pete McMurray, I know you have your love for Pete McMurray. I love Pete, too.
That was my
miss Pete.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, me too. Him and Scott, they're great guys. We mentioned them on last...
I think we did,
too. Yeah. But I remember just, like, it's all a learning process. I mean, there were a few times when I was just slow on the commercials and everything like that, but...
Oh, yeah, I remember.
In fact, he's still waiting for one from that Sunday.
Yes.
Never mind. No.
Yeah, exactly.
Still waiting for that permissile ad to run.
Exactly.
And I remember, like, it's just like the more mistakes you make, the better you get, and then, and you know, you just kind of need to keep moving forward.
Right, and then at the end of that New Year's shift that you and I had worked, I felt, you know, like a whole different producer.
Yeah,
actually knew what I was sort of doing.
Exactly. Here's what I'm excited about. I'm excited about you guys and your podcast, and I was just saying to Michael upstairs that, you know, we get these rankings of where podcasts end up, and I think we figured out there's like 400 or 500 podcasts that post on WGNRadio.com every single month, and I'm not sure what the number is on WGN Plus, but your podcast was like really outside of just clicking on WGN Plus, your podcast was number one last month, and it was with the interview you're playing tonight, right?
Oh, yeah, I think we are going to play that one. That one we got lucky. It was with this band Thrice. They played in studio. We kind of coaxed them somehow into playing some acoustic version of songs that they had never played before, to my understanding.
Yeah.
And they blasted it out for us, and it really took off, and it kind of had...
That's the magic of some of this. It's all about social media and actually getting that out there to their fans as well.
Absolutely.
To connect them to WGN, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the social media part is huge. So, you know, if you're listening right now and you go to WGN Radio after the show, be sure to share it with all your friends.
Yeah.
So that's the thing about that Thrice interview. It was the loyal fan base that they had was the one that spread it, which is, you know,
it's awesome.
You're doing them a service by putting it on the air. So it's
symbiotic
cool.
relationship.
Yes.
We're both benefiting.
Yeah. And now we hang out with Thrice every weekend. It's so great.
See, Barbara Eden did that for me, and that what made one of those top podcast for me is 80-year-old Barbara.
And Dave, you have a reputation around here too of just getting some of the biggest interviews.
Yes, yes.
And it's totally insane some of the names you get.
I'm just relentless. And I think, you know, somebody asked me this, actually Todd asked me this the other day, and I think part of it was that I'm a sales guy and I run my own business, and so I go out and get my own, you know, so you do a lot of cold calling and stuff like that, and I think that's what makes me hungry to go do that stuff. Is you got to be aggressive, and
sure.
You get who you want for those type of things. But I'm thrilled for you guys. This is really awesome. Glad to hear you guys on the air.
Could not thank you enough. For
Oh, stop it! Oh, now you're embarrassing me.
We came up
together.
Come on
now. We did. We absolutely did. Yeah. Absolutely.
So let's focus on you a bit. What's coming up tomorrow?
What do we have on tomorrow? Roger, we've got Mike Love from the Beach Boys. That's what we got going on tomorrow.
Oh, man. Can I go sing with him?
I can't get Brian. You know, he's got a new book coming out, and Brian Wilson has a new book coming out. So, you know, they're going to be fighting because
the battling books.
Well, the thing with the Beach Boys is, you know, Mike Love wrote as much as Brian Wilson did. They wrote a lot of stuff together, and at some point in the 80s, when he looked back to see who got the song credits and mm-hmm. the money, because this is all about cash and
sure.
if something is played on the air or there's a record deal and so forth, you get a piece of those profits. And Mike wasn't on any of the credits. It was only the Wilson brothers that really were on the credits. So he had to go back while he was playing with his band and sue his bandmates to get those royalties back.
Wow.
So, you know, they're not talking again. So it's like a roller coaster relationship with these guys. You know, sometimes they talk, sometimes they don't. So most of the original Beach Boys are touring with the exception of Brian Wilson on this tour. So they're going to be at the Wisconsin State Fair Sunday night, and we're going to talk to them tomorrow. Johnny Mathis, legend. Johnny Mathis.
Yeah.
80 years old?
Yeah. And I talked to him earlier in the week. We're going to play it tomorrow. We actually posted it on WGNRadio.com because he's playing the Rosemont Theater tonight.
And I was working.
Well, I'm taking mom. It was a birthday gift. And she gets to meet Johnny, who just turned 80 himself.
Wow. And he doesn't look a day over 40.
No, and he sounds exactly the same. And I said to him, I said, you sound exactly the same. And he said, well, I just got my teeth fixed at 80.
I guess that'll do it, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that
he
sounds
does
cool.
A great rendition of Life is a Song Worth Singing, one of my most favorite songs
is that
of
right?
all time.
A Johnny Mathis classic?
Classic. Hmm. Yeah, I love that song.
We sound really old compared to what these guys are going to be talking about tonight.
I know. I have no clue about any of
the
bands.
We're 100 years old, exactly.
You know, last time we...
Third Eye Blind. You got to know Third Eye Blind.
Third Eye Blind, sure.
And last time we filled in, we were doing some concert talk and all that with Roger.
Right.
And
yeah.
So you can still relate.
I can...
You're not an old fogey.
No, I got one foot on the old side and one side not on the fogey
side.
Can
spin some 78s tonight.
Oh. Hey, I tell you, 78s don't break.
That's true.
Solid records.
That's true.
Yeah,
that's true. Wasn't today Record Store Day, National Record Store Day,
no.
Michael?
No, that's in April, I want to say.
No. Yeah. That is independent something Record Store Day, or today was National Vinyl Record Day or something.
I think it was a different...
It was something different.
It wasn't a store
it's
thing.
It's so hard to...
It's not Record Store Day. It was Record Day. It was National Record Day.
Oh, okay.
So I saw a lot of stuff on social media about, you know, some of the first records you ever bought. Do you guys buy vinyl?
I do, actually, yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
It's Absolutely. Been a little while. I've been kind of lazy about it, but I've got, and it's a really cool thing for me is I have my dad's old speakers and receiver.
Oh, that's
so it's got
cool.
a bit of like nostalgia. Like these are the speakers I, you know, that were shaking my walls growing up with Scorpions or, you know, whatever else. And now,
that's cool.
Now I'm shaking walls with them.
How old's your dad?
My dad, just, I think he's 51.
Oh my God! Come on,
I know, right?
She's 51.
They got started a little early. Yeah. I mean,
you know how far back 51 is. You know how by wide a margin Ledecky won the race today or yesterday? That's how far back 51 looks to me.
So you're what, 55, Roger? I mean, come on.
Yeah, right.
Oh, that's nice.
I wish.
That's nice. You buying vinyl at all?
Oh, absolutely. Okay, absolutely. Okay. Like, it's not only a cool thing to hang up on your walls, it's like it's the warm tones that I really appreciate. Oh, yeah. Actually, there's this new study that I wanted to talk about, just talking about.
Should
some
we take
vinyl.
A break first, maybe? Let's
I
get
think
into the
we
study.
Should
oh, screw
let,
the break.
Let me after
hey,
the break.
We're producers first, Dave. We got to worry all about right. the break.
All after right. the break, we're going to be talking about a new study that actually finds the link between collecting vinyl and being a middle-aged loner.
Oh,
what?
Boy.
We're going to see if this is true.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to that
what a
next
great conversation, yeah.
On WGN. Welcome back to WGN Radio. You're listening to Sound Sessions. I am Kevin.
And what's up? This is Mike.
And we are hanging out with Dave Plyer, the one and only.
I'm honored.
Good morning.
Yeah, it is morning, isn't it?
Good morning. So what was this report now?
So right before the break, we pitched that we were going to be talking about a new study that finds the link between collecting vinyl and mm-hmm. being a middle-aged loner.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I would really believe this. Like, you know, the older we get, I mean, I can see the nostalgia and why everyone is driving,
sure.
you know, back
oh, it's coming back. Oh, 1,000%.
Vinyl is back. I mean, if you take a look around all the record store days and the limited LP releases that have popped up in recent years, you're going to see this evidence pretty much everywhere. But, you know, you got to hold for a second because these hipsters and nostalgics are actually powering vinyl's unlikely resurgence. But now, according to a new study by the market research company YouGov, they analyzed data from 2016 vinyl sales in the UK and arrived at a much different conclusion that vinyl collecting is the most provincial way to show that you're a middle-aged loner. I mean, mm-hmm. I don't know about this.
It must be old albums, though. I mean, we're talking about – this is kind of church and state because obviously people are collecting or buying new albums because they love to hear the vinyl. But these are people that have probably hung on to their collection mm-hmm. for the past 20 or 30 years.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, in this study, they actually found that it doesn't really mean you're a loser or anything like that. It just means
I think that's what you said, but that's okay.
Judging is always.
It means you like listening to your albums instead of associating with other people.
Well,
right.
Exactly.
And not only that, I mean, I think...
Which is a loner and
no, it's not.
And if you're actively
are you
buying...
Alone? No, I'm with Frank. Or I'm with the Beatles.
Oh, okay.
Or I'm, see? I'm
yeah.
with somebody.
You make a good point. You make a good point.
Yeah, because, you know, if this is really true, then I guess, like, I'm a loner or something like that.
Maybe, I don't know. Well, if you're... the point I was going to make is if you're actively buying records... That's a lot of money. It adds up quickly, and maybe that's the money that you would be spending taking a girl out or taking a guy out or whatever, you know, or going out at all.
Exactly. You know, the study found that 50% of vinyl collectors don't like to share their feelings, while a whopping 69% can be described as introverts who enjoy spending time alone.
Huh.
So
we have a special caller here. Maybe he can weigh in on this. Hi, is this Michael?
Hello.
Hi, Michael.
Hey, Michael, you know, lo and behold, this is actually Michael, my dad, who has one of the best record collections that there possibly is in the entire world. And this guy is definitely not a loner, one of the most outgoing and personal people that I know. Love this guy and love his collection. Dad, what made you get started with your record collection when you were growing up?
Well, when I was a kid, the first 45 I ever bought in my life was 8 Days a Week by the Beatles.
Mm. Oh, that's a good one.
And we had to buy 45s because we couldn't afford albums.
Mm-hmm.
You could only keep stuff forward. We
it's
know
true.
With a dollar, 99
yeah.
cents, you could get a new album, a new 45. So once we figured out, hey, it's a better deal buying an album, just save up a little longer, and voila, there we are. We started the record collection, you know, slowly but surely.
Now, when you were buying these albums, where did you end up purchasing them from? Was it from like a record store? Do they have dedicated record stores back in the day?
Oh, stop!
Way
it.
Back then,
just knock it off.
In Sheboygan, Wisconsin, Gene's Camera, they sold cameras and records.
Oh,
and we would go in there, and no, they you know back they just had to you know it's retail. And you couldn't have standalone record stores, but they would make it work. There was no big box stores. There were no
sure.
Walmarts or anything back in the day. So you had to go to Gene's, and you would look through all those records. Oh, it was so much fun.
Now, Mike Sr., I have, my prize record is my father's. It was passed down to me. It's Led Zeppelin's The Song Remains the Same, which No Quarter on that album is, like, maybe my favorite song of all time.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have, like, a prize record in your collection?
Oh, well, yeah. I have the Beatles. Abbey Road is probably one of my favorite albums. It's just a little bit of Cat Stevens, too.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I have that.
You know, Dad, I remember when when we'd be listening to records when I was growing up, you'd put on the Cat Stevens albums. We used to play Father and Son a lot. I remember that was a really good song. But the thing that I remember the most about my first experience with records with you was the fact that you had the Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band album, and they had the little cutouts and everything that you could get with the albums. They had, like, stickers and posters and everything. That you don't really see that today with records.
No, not at all. I tell you what, you bought those albums and you took care of them, and you took them to friends' houses, you know, because you just you had to play music. You know, it didn't stream. It didn't.
Right.
You had to share it. I mean, you had to share it by literally bringing it to their house. And it was so much fun, so much simpler back in the day.
Mike, do you remember, because I think we're probably about the same age, but do you remember having 45s cut out of the back of cereal boxes?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Hold on. And they would actually play?
Oh, they would play.
What?
They would be a little warpy, but I think my first 45 that I had was cardboard and was the last train to Clarksville by the Monkees in the early...
I was in the Monkees fan club. I had that paper record.
Yeah. Yeah, classic. That's because it was free. That was like the prize on the back of the box, which is crazy. Yeah.
They should start bringing that back.
They should, like, I mean, the whole...
Yeah, they should. They really should. That would be fun, man.
The whole back of the cereal box thing is, like, not... Smartphones have killed that, as far as I'm concerned.
It's true.
Oh, that's man. True. Yeah, that's so funny because, you know, you see how much things have changed. Maybe that's this whole nostalgia thing, you know, it really builds your character. Maybe then rather than being, like, a loner or something like that, this just really shows you... like who you are, you become a better person by spending this time alone and you know.
I think your report was more about people that sit in their basement with their collection that they've had for 40 years and don't talk to anybody else. I think that's one thing.
Yeah,
I think there was the oldest 45 I have was one that my mom bought in 1957. She still had it in the record store bag with the receipt in it that she bought. It was all shook up.
Oh, wow.
By Elvis, yeah.
Very
it was
cool.
Yeah, very classic, very old. We have a jukebox, too, so we you know, we try to load it with some classics. We've got a few contemporary things in there, but we've got a lot of 50s, 60s, 70s stuff in there. Vinyl's cool, man.
It's very cool, yeah. And it's like, in comparison to CDs, it can take a beating, too. CDs, like, I just trail. You remember, like, the whole big book you'd have in
your
car?
The Jewel CD case,
like, you know, 150 CDs in there.
Mm-hmm.
Weighed, like,
the
50
Bible.
Pounds. Yeah, that's what I called it too. Yeah, exactly. But every like I gave that to my buddies because I don't have a CD player anymore. It doesn't you know there's no point in having.
See, you
one.
Didn't live through the 8-tracks either.
No, and
no.
I'm not upset about that.
I'll have to bring some in for you.
Do you remember the 8-track adapters that you'd have for your car so you could play cassettes? You'd have to convert your 8-track to cassettes so you could play cassettes in the car.
Mm-hmm.
How pathetic!
In fact, I still have
sound.
An 8-track player that works.
Me too.
Yeah.
Do you use it?
Yeah,
got
about
I've got 10 8-tracks. I've
they're,
got my dad's collection.
They're
in
like
there.
Notoriously not that good sounding, right?
Yes, correct.
Yes, okay.
But it's part of the you know it's part of the history of music, so it's cool to have a few lying around, I guess. Right?
Yeah, I would say so.
Yeah,
I test it every so often just to make sure it still works.
What was your first album you bought? Do you remember, Roger?
Oh my God!
Mike's dad said it was the Beatles. What was?
Yeah, name? Mine was. Well,
was it on one of
Meet
those
the Beatles.
Cylinders or?
Man, you're really hurting me.
that was before.
I went over to Tom Edison's
cylinder,
house, and I knocked on the door. I said, "Tom, what's the big hit today?"
Uh-huh. Okay, Roger needed to get together with like a barbershop quartet and just make his own music.
Uh-huh.
That time.
Exactly. You know what? A kid down the street, the big day, was a friend of mine, Richard Eaton. He lives out in California now, and he lived down the block from me. The big day was the day he bought, or his family bought, Meet the Beatles.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
And we went down to his place and listened to that thing until there was no vinyl left.
Mm-hmm.
I remember, like your dad said, Mike, I went to the Walgreens near us, and there was a metal cylinder sitting on the floor about maybe 3 feet high. just stuffed with 45s, not even in a paper holder like they were.
Ooh.
Just
that freaks
now,
see, yeah,
I know. Yeah, it wasn't great, but they were like old 45 from a couple of years or 6 months even was old, and I picked some out from there. I don't remember which ones they were. I think I may have, my first album may have been a jazz album that I bought. I think it might have been a Charlie Bird album.
Mine was REO Speedwagon. You can tune a piano, but you can't tune a fish. I believe it was Time for Me to Fly, all that stuff.
That was your first record?
That was my first record.
Oh, man. The 70s. Classic.
That's so cool.
I remember the first thing I bought was a cassette. And I remember mowing like every lawn in that neighborhood, in my neighborhood, to get
a cassette.
Yeah, to get Weezer's Blue Album.
And, Weezer.
On cassette. On cassette.
Wow.
Because the CDs were like the kind of like still the new thing.
Right? Do you remember Cassingles?
No.
It was Cassingles. So right when they were trying to transition out of 45s, they had single or two songs on a cassette that you could buy for like $2.99. It was a Cassingle. So just like your dad said, you couldn't afford the full album. That's what, I mean, as a kid, I couldn't either. You just bought a ton of 45s until you get a job.
Dad, do you remember those Cassingles?
Oh, no, not the Cassingles so much, but your Uncle Joe, his first album was Meet the Beatles.
Oh.
I remember that very distinctly. And your Uncle Joe is 3 years older than I was. So he went out and he ponied up, the $2.99 from Gene's Camera, and he bought that album. Oh, my God. You're absolutely right. You listened to it every day, 5 and 6 times. It was so good.
I love that. I love that. And, Dad, you're the reason I listen to music. Growing up with the albums, I can't thank you enough for, you know, showing me the music that you did because it – I mean, now we get to be on WGN and get to talk about it, so that's kind of cool.
Look at that.
Mike, thank you so much. It's great hearing you. It's great. I'm very, very proud of you, very, very happy for you, and you guys are going to just knock it out of the park tonight.
Thank you, Dad. We're going to go listen to some records now.
Yeah,
there you go.
With Roger. Well,
Roger, you know that news is never on time overnight. You'll go at about 2:40. It'll be fine.
Yeah, you're close.
Yeah, close enough. Well, Dave and company, thanks for stopping by.
Thanks, guys.
Hi.
Have fun tonight.
So
have a good time.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm going to nap.